Isn't it crazy that America is turning 250 years old? I mean, look how far we've come. Now, we've got coolers in our sofas, light-up cup holders, and power-articulating headrests. When it comes to furniture worthy of this major milestone, Bob's Discount Furniture has all the styles all of America wants at the everyday low prices we deserve, backed by tons of five-star reviews. Check out the Sedona Power Reclining Sofa, a genuine leather one-stop shop for relaxation with built-in charging, cup holders, and supportive bobopedic seats, perfect for lounging in the AC all day. You can even complete the look with the matching love seat and recliner. Throwing summer parties? The HomeWorks dining set features comfy bobopedic seating and clever storage built right into the table and bench. Or customize your space with the customer favorite modular Bob Sectional. It has over 1,000 five-star reviews, family-proof construction, and wireless charging for hundreds less than the competition. At only $250 per piece, building your dream sectional is incredibly affordable. Celebrate the 4th at Bob's. It's where America shops for furniture.
Are you really buying a car online on AutoTrader right now?
Really?
At a playground?
Yeah, really. Look at these listings from dealers.
Wow, your search can really get that specific.
Really?
And you just put in your info and boom, car's in your budget.
Mom needs a second, honey.
You can really have it delivered?
Really? Or I can pick it up at the dealership.
Mom! One sec, sweetie.
Mommy's buying a car.
Mommy, look!
I think your kid is walking up the slide.
Kyle, again? Really?
Auto Trader. Buy your car online. Really?
Sandy Alford almost never got sick, which is why that first semester of grad school was weird. Out of nowhere, she broke out in a horrible rash.
There was a purple-red, oval-shaped spot right over my thyroid on my neck, and it slowly went up my neck and into my face and on my hands.
Sandy's rash went away on its own. But later that same semester, another medical issue came up.
And then the second thing that I saw was breathing difficulties, and I was diagnosed with asthma. Well, I don't smoke. I've never smoked. I don't live with anybody that smokes. So it was unusual to be about 34 years old and be diagnosed with asthma.
By the end of the semester, her symptoms were gone. Whatever had been happening to her seemed to have passed on its own. She went on with her life and didn't think about it again. At least not for another two decades.
I was literally in my pajamas, headed to bed. And I had my phone in my left hand and I was getting ready to shut the light out in the hallway. And I was just checking the news one more time. And I noticed this story on a local media here in Raleigh. The story said 99 cases of cancer linked to a building at NC State campus. And I'd seen this story before, but I didn't take time to read it because it was Christmas and, you know, going into holidays, that kind of thing. But this time, for some reason, I stopped and clicked on the story, and I immediately saw Poe Hall. And I yelled into the bedroom to my husband, and I said, oh, my God. Poe Hall's where I went to graduate school. That's the building I was in.
I'm Margo Gray. This week on Campus Files, the contamination of NC State's Poe Hall. Chapter 1, Christy Lewis.
I was not drawn to NC State because it was incredibly beautiful, I will say that. Most of the campus did not have the feel of, like, I don't know, UNC.
This is Christy Lewis. She chose NC State for undergrad for a simple reason. She was in love.
I had started dating a boy freshman year of high school. And he was going to go to NC State. And his extended family was down there. And my extended family is actually down there. I would always go to Raleigh for holidays, Thanksgiving, summers, whatever. And I loved it here. And so I also went to NC State.
Christy got to campus in 2007. She started in business school, thinking maybe she'd open a small business someday.
And then remembered how much I actually hate math, and I did not want to end up in an office building.
So Christy explored a few different majors. Eventually, she landed in the College of Education. The department was housed in Poe Hall.
This area of campus that Poe Hall is on the corner of is called the Court of the Carolinas. It is, I think, the most beautiful corner of campus. It had like a beautiful, lush quad. It had more stately, more historic looking buildings from like earlier eras, you could tell. And then there was Poe Hall on the corner there, which was just this ugly kind of monstrosity of a building in like the corner, kind of like a blob of like dark architecture, very much like from a different era.
The inside of Poe Hall wasn't much better. Wood paneling, old carpet, it all felt dated, especially compared to the business school building she'd been in before. But the building aside, Christy had no complaints about her new major. She felt good about switching into the College of Education and good about following her boyfriend to NC State too. Junior year, the two got married. Then things abruptly took a turn.
It's a little bit of a jumble, but I was a newlywed when I started getting sick. I am not a huge headachy person. And I remember having horrible migraines at night. And I would come home from school and I would have to go to bed by like 7 because I wanted to just be unconscious. So that was strange to me. And I was like, okay, well, this is weird, you know, but whatever. And then at some point in those next few months, and this is when my classes are getting like more and more concentrated in Poe Hall, I started getting night sweats where I would wake up like in the middle of the night, just drenched. And I would have to get up and like change my clothes. I'd put a towel down.
Christy didn't think to mention it to her husband. She'd generally forget about it by the time she woke up. Eventually, though, she did mention it to her mom, who insisted she go see a doctor.
I have such a distinct memory of going to the student health center and waiting forever to like have somebody finally come in and see me. So finally, the nurse comes in and she's like just doing a quick examination. I was like, hey, I wanted to mention that I've been having these night sweats lately and I've like never had these before. She goes, oh, I wouldn't worry about it. And she gets to my neck and goes, oh, like there's something large here.
Christy had to go in for a biopsy, which was traumatic in and of itself. The doctor stuck a huge needle in her neck without local anesthesia and poked around. Then Christy was sent home without answers. She'd have to wait around for results.
I remember being in the car like a week and a half later and driving down Glenwood Avenue and getting a call from the endocrinologist. And they said like, hey, you've got papillary thyroid cancer. I was confused. I'm one of 5 kids in my family. Nobody's ever had cancer. I've always been a very healthy person. I mean, I get the occasional sinus infection and stuff, but never anything this serious.
Christy focused on what she could control. She asked doctors for next steps and dutifully followed the instructions. She had her thyroid gland removed. Then in the fall, she started taking meds and following a strict diet to prepare for radiation.
As I am gearing up to get this radiation, I am brushing my teeth one night and I see like a growth on my arm. And I was like, that's really weird. What is that? So I tell my sister about this in passing just on the phone. And she was like, you have to go get that checked out.
Soon, Christy was back at the doctor for another biopsy. And once again, she had to wait for results.
So I didn't hear anything for, you know, a good week. And when I did hear something, they were like, hey, have you been to like these parts of Africa like recently? And I was like, oh no, what's wrong with me?
Christy had no idea why the doctor was asking about recent travel to Africa. It turns out there's a cancer that's common in parts of Africa, Kaposi's sarcoma, that has nearly identical symptoms to what she was experiencing. But that's not what Christy had. Her diagnosis was highly unusual, a supremely rare form of the cancer angiosarcoma.
And so it was really at that point that I was like, what the hell? And I asked, are these cancers related? I just had thyroid cancer. And he was like, no, they are not related at all. And at that point, like, it just felt scary of like, what else is my body susceptible to? What is happening in me right now?
It would be another decade before Christy had any idea what might be happening to her. June is here, which means it's finally time to reach for your summer wardrobe. And if you're trying to look good without overheating, Quince is your best bet. Their summer collection has all the warm weather staples: breathable linen, washable silk, and soft organic cotton. I now own their 100% linen pants in more colors than I'd like to admit. And the best part is that you get all that quality without the luxury markup. Everything at Quince is priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Quince works directly with ethical factories and cuts out the middlemen, so you're paying for quality, not brand markup. And it's not just clothing. Quince has become a destination for elevated essentials across the home, from kitchen to bedding, making it easy to bring a more premium feel into everyday life. Elevate your summer wardrobe. Go to quince.com/campus for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada too. That's quince.com/campus for free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/campus.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Chapter 2, Kate Norwalk. The job opening at NC State was serendipitous. Kate Norwalk had just finished her postdoc at UNC and was trying to figure out what to do next. That's when she saw a position at NC State for assistant professor in the psychology department.
It just kind of seemed like a really great fit for me. I just got really good vibes when I interviewed, and I just really loved the people and the department.
In 2015, Kate got the job. She'd be teaching introductory and advanced level psychology. Both her classes and her office would be in Poe Hall.
Most of the building is College of Education, but we took up like 1.5 floors, basically, within Poe Hall.
Kate loved her job. She says she actually enjoyed coming into work. And over the next 7 years, she's not sure she took a single sick day. But that changed in 2022. She was diagnosed with breast cancer.
I had to go through like 6 rounds of chemo, 3 surgeries, 25 rounds of radiation, physical therapy, you know, all of the stuff that comes with it.
It consumed her life for the better part of a year. But by the start of the following year, she was back on her feet and back in the classroom.
So I had just come back to in-person in the office building for that fall semester of 2023. And so I was just kind of getting back into the swing of things. I was coming into the office every day. And then they literally sent us a message over Thanksgiving break, basically said that they had closed Poe Hall.
As of 5 o'clock, access to Poe Hall at NC State officially restricted.
All classes normally held at that building have been moved to be either virtual or to new locations. That news
came for. At the time Poe Hall closed, over 400 faculty, staff, and graduate students had offices there. Another 4,000 students were taking classes in Poe Hall.
And we talked to some of those folks as they were packing up and leaving. They tell us they're concerned, they're upset. Right now,
NC State. What was the reason for the abrupt closure? The email read, "The university conducted preliminary environmental testing in Poe Hall, and initial results indicate the presence of environmental contaminants in the building, necessitating further study." The environmental contaminants they found were PCBs, which stands for polychlorinated biphenyls. PCBs were once a popular material in building construction. They're effective because they're heat resistant and chemically stable. PCBs were particularly common in the early 1970s, right when Poe Hall was built. But PCBs quickly fell out of favor. Policymakers were starting to realize something. industrial chemicals like these could be dangerous.
For the past 5 years, an estimated 600 new chemicals a year have been introduced into U.S. commerce. These chemicals have been sold without any systematic advance assessment of their potential impact on human health. We often do not discover how harmful a compound can be until it has become a commonplace item in our everyday life.
In 1976, Congress passed the Toxic Substances Control Act. The law gave the Environmental Protection Agency, the EPA, the authority to regulate chemical substances. And by 1979, production of PCBs were banned in the United States because scientists had discovered something alarming. PCBs don't break down in the environment. They stay around indefinitely. They're what we now call forever chemicals. And they don't break down in the human body either. The health effects are serious. Brain fog, fertility problems, skin rashes. Then, in 2015, the World Health Organization classified PCBs as a Group 1 carcinogen, the same category as asbestos and tobacco, meaning they'd found definitive evidence that PCBs cause cancer in humans. That was the same year that Kate had started teaching in Pohol. As she now processed all of this, her mind went to a colleague, someone else who'd worked in the building. Kate's colleague had been diagnosed with breast cancer just a month before her own diagnosis.
And so when I was diagnosed and I found out she had, I remember just thinking, like, what are the odds? Like, I still, nothing nefarious crossed my mind. I still never even thought something about the building, but I was just like, wow, what are the odds? Like, that both of us would get breast cancer at the same time. And when I saw that email, like my stomach just dropped.
Kate started reaching out to colleagues in the building, including people in the College of Education that she'd never really interacted with before.
And so started kind of connecting with some of them and just started realizing, wow, people have really been raising concerns about this for quite a long time, actually.
Her colleague shared that for years, faculty had been complaining about black material coming out of the vents. In some rooms, apparently, a thin layer of the black stuff coated desks and chairs. The faculty had flagged it repeatedly, but nothing had been done. The pattern made Kate suspicious of the university, more than she already was.
The way that they went about it seemed shady to me, closing the building like right around Thanksgiving break. There wasn't any communication about it. And so for me, I was like, you know what? I just want to do my own research just in case they try to be shady about this. And that actually eventually led to me calling NIOSH.
NIOSH is an acronym for the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health. It's a division of the CDC. As far as everyone knew, NIOSH was conducting an investigation into Pohol. But when Kate reached out to NIOSH, she learned that wasn't the case.
NIOSH told me we were about to start the investigation, but then they closed it. We can only do it if the university wants it. They said they wanted it, and then they shut it down. And at that point, everyone believed that this investigation was ongoing. NC State never communicated that they had closed the investigation.
For Kate, this was the final straw, the point at which she lost all faith in the university. She decided to go to the media, specifically the local news station WRAL. She informed them that NC State had quietly shut down the federal investigation.
Outrage at NC State. 2 months after closing a busy campus building because of the presence of toxic chemicals, NC State asked the federal government to stop investigating potentially high rates of cancer there. Tests found the
chemicals in A week after the news broke, faculty in the College of Education held a vote of no confidence against NC State's chancellor, the first in the school's history. The chancellor addressed the community on camera for the first time since Pohol closed.
It's complicated, and it will take time. And please know that our teams are working tirelessly to get answers as quickly as possible.
The vote of no confidence had another effect. It pushed NC State to re-request the federal investigation. Kate was relieved about that, but the school's motivation still stung. To her, they seemed more worried about their reputation and liability than people's health. And Kate wasn't alone in that feeling. Christy, remember the grad student diagnosed with two rare cancers, She felt it too. Unlike Kate, she was no longer on campus, and no one from the university ever contacted her. She found out Pohall was contaminated the same way the public did, through the media.
I did see something on the news at some point about this building that like something contaminated, whatever. And it didn't ring a bell to me. I just passed it over and I was like, oh no, that's terrible. And I just remember sitting down in the front room of my house and was reading an article and I was like, Pohall, why does that sound so familiar? So I clicked on it. I start shaking as I start reading the article. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's the building that I took all my classes in. And I was reading about all the cancer cases and I was like, oh my gosh, this is me.
Christy immediately called her dad and shared the news. He encouraged her to go to the media. She'd never done that before, but she contacted WRAL. And soon, she was speaking publicly about her diagnoses.
That news came for Christy at 22, diagnosed with two different cancers within 2 years.
I had already been in PO for probably about 3 years. First with thyroid cancer, my junior year, and then with
After speaking on the news, Christy was flooded with messages from people who'd worked or studied in Pohall. One particular message from a woman stood out.
She's within a couple years of me at NC State. And she was like, hey, I saw you on the news. I just want to let you know I was diagnosed with the same two cancers as you. She had an angiosarcoma and papillary thyroid cancer. That was like an oh shit moment. I was like, there is no way that this is a coincidence.
Hey parents, we all know summer break is for fun, but it's also a time when kids can start losing some of the progress they made during the school year. We want them to stay engaged and keep those young minds active. Between camps, vacations, and family time, it can be tough to keep a learning routine going. That's why I want to tell you about IXL. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's an easy way to keep learning going through the summer and helps kids feel confident heading into the next school year. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. And get this, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. That's a huge endorsement. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
I hear a lot from people that there are days where it's hard to read a single news story. Forget actually being caught up. But I host a podcast that can fix that. It's called The Seven. Seven stories every weekday by 7 a.m. Eastern. And here's the other thing. It's short, less than 10 minutes, in fact. I'm Hannah Jewell. The Seven podcast will turn around your morning and get you caught up. Check it out and follow The Seven wherever you listen to podcasts.
Chapter 3. Sandy Alford. In the months after Pohall closed, there wasn't much communication from NC State. Faculty and students, both current and former, were getting almost all of their information from the news, specifically the local station WRAL. It was WRAL that pieced together the events that led to Pohall's closing, what the university knew and when. WRAL broke the news that as early as 2007, nearly two decades before Pohall's closing, faculty had been complaining of black coating on surfaces. A 2012 letter asks the university's Environmental Health and Public Safety Unit for confirmation that there was, quote, nothing dangerous in the building. And it was WRAL that broke an even bigger bombshell.
This is a huge story our team has been following and will continue to follow the impacts. But this is just one small piece of evidence right here that now that report indicates that those PCBs were in fact found on the outside of that building. The university said in an email
in 2018, 5 years before Pohall closed, the school knew about the presence of PCBs on the outside of the building.
In 2018, they were doing a weatherproofing project, and there were leaks and things on the roof and some of the sides of the building. So they went in and they did some testing.
This is Sandy, who we heard from at the very start of the episode. By the time Pohall closed, she'd lost two friends who were also in the building to cancer, and she'd battled breast cancer herself. When she saw the news of the 2018 report, she was shocked, both that the university hadn't said anything and that the PCB levels seemed really high. To put it in perspective, the EPA considers anything over 50 parts per million to be dangerous. In Pohall, the window caulking measured between 12,000 and 17,000 parts per million.
That's 340 times higher than the EPA says is safe. And that's important because if you have PCBs on the outside of the building, that those can leach on the inside. And yet, NC State didn't do any testing internally. They just stuck with the outside.
So what finally prompted NC State to test inside the building? In August 2023, a faculty member notified the university that she, along with seven other Pohall employees, was battling breast cancer. She wrote, "There could be more. This is alarming." The next month, another professor with breast cancer filed complaints with the North Carolina Department of Labor and the EPA over potential PCB exposure. At that point, the university had no choice but to investigate, and their preliminary testing confirmed the faculty members' fears. There were PCBs in the building. But what they didn't know yet was just how high the cancer rates were among current and former Pohall faculty and students. WRAL was meticulously collecting data, tracking every case, and the number kept climbing.
More than 225 people have reached out to WRAL, telling us that they were diagnosed with cancer after spending time in this building. Today I spoke to students.
Meanwhile, NC State repeatedly said that it was not collecting health data. The only thing they were offering was a website with updates.
There's absolutely just crickets there. I know it went for 5.5, almost 6 months without being updated at all. And so that Pohall website, to me, it's no use.
To Sandy, the biggest red flag wasn't even the lack of communication. It was that NC State wanted only its own consultants inside the building. Remember, they'd already tried to shut down a federal health investigation, and now they were denying entry to outside experts and attorneys.
NC State was adamant that no one was going in that building to do any additional testing, independent testing, that they owned the building, they were going to do it, they had this.
Eventually, one former student, Darren Major, took NC State to court to get access to the building. He'd been in Pohall for both his doctoral and master's degrees. He spent about 30 hours in the building per week. Now he was battling acute leukemia.
His attorney asked the judge to please give access to us to get into Pohall because Dr. Major had cancer and had been given only months to live. He deserved the right to know what was in the building that could have caused his illness, and that to deny him access was to deny him justice.
Darren Major passed away in May 2025. He didn't live to see the outcome of his legal battle. His case made it all the way to the state Supreme Court, and the judge ruled in his favor, paving the way for outside experts to enter the building and test inside.
I stood outside of the building of Pohall that day and watched all of the folks arrive and start to do that testing.
Sandy is still anxiously awaiting the results of that testing. In the meantime, she's trying to find as many people as possible who worked or studied in Pohall, or who may know someone who did.
So that people can find out that they were exposed at a minimum and then make that connection. At least it might give them some sense of what happened to them and help them deal with some of the news that they've gotten about their health.
Sandy says it's not unusual for her dining room table to be covered with documents about Pohall and about PCBs. Documents she's downloaded off the internet or gotten through records requests.
I am certainly not a toxicologist, but I'm a very smart and determined woman who has to figure out what the hell happened to her inside that building.
Sandy's also working with an advocacy group on NC State's campus to get the word out. And she's speaking with whoever will listen, including the city council.
This is not how I thought my retirement years would be. But if I can be of value, I want to be. This has become a purpose for me because it's personal. And someone told me one day that they said, you know, you're a warrior. It's like, I'm just a pissed off gray-haired lady with cancer who wants to get answers to things. And who's exhausted from people looking her in the eye and not telling her the truth.
Today, Sandy is one of 12 plaintiffs suing NC State. They allege they developed cancer after years of being exposed, unknowingly, to toxic chemicals inside Pohall. And during the discovery process, their attorneys found something. NC State definitively knew about the PCBs in Pohall as far back as 1991. That year, something broke in the building's electrical system. And when workers tested the oil inside, it came back contaminated. And then NC State did nothing. No broader testing, no warning to the people inside. The lawsuit accuses the university of deliberate indifference, of having warning signs for decades, and doing nothing. There are only 12 names on the complaint. But Sandy says this case isn't just about them. It's about the hundreds of people who've since reported cancer after spending time in that building. Some of them were children.
We know that there's almost 100 children because PCBs are multi-generational. So if you are a woman inside that building and you were pregnant or breastfeeding or even just exposed and then later became pregnant, we're seeing that there are cancers, autoimmune diseases, and neurological disorders in those children as a result of their mothers or fathers, but mostly mothers who are in that building. It's frightening.
Here's Christy.
I have to look at my children through this lens of, why does my daughter have chronic headaches? Is it because of PCBs? Were they passed down to her? I don't know. I'm not a scientist. I do not know the answer to this.
The list of potential symptoms is long. Among the most common, reproductive harm and premature menopause. Kate has experienced both. Today, she's one of the plaintiffs suing NC State.
You know, at this point, obviously money would be wonderful, right? All of us have lots of, you know, insurance bills and things like that. But honestly, even if I never saw a dime, I just want to see the university held accountable. Like that is, you know, you could at least take some accountability or you could at least offer your employees even a shred of compassion or humanity and just have gotten none of that. I mean, it's just, they have handled this about as poorly as they possibly could have.
Here's Sandy again.
When you get a diagnosis of cancer, it changes your life. And the emotional and mental and physical stamina that it takes to deal with that, it's a lot. But on top of that, we're battling NC State University
with an annual budget of $2 billion.
Sandy recently bought herself a pair of Doc Martens, the kind that look like combat boots.
Well, I got my Doc Martens not too long ago, and I wear them every day to remind me that I'm a warrior, that I'm in combat. And so I put on my uniform, and I go to work every day and try to get to the bottom of this. And the fight is not even anywhere near over.
Special thanks to Phil Bird. If you've got a story idea, we would love to hear about it. Send us an email at campusfilespod@gmail.com. And if you're loving this podcast, be sure to click follow on your favorite podcast app so you never miss an episode. While you're there, leave us a review and a 5-star rating. Campus Files is an Odyssey original podcast hosted by Margot Gray and Ian Mont. Our executive producers are Leah Reese-Dennis and Lloyd Lockridge. Campus Files is produced by Ian Mont and Margot Gray. Sound design and engineering by Andy Jaskowitz and Zach Clark. Legal support by Laura Berman and Melissa Jean. Original music by Davey Sumner.
Special thanks to Maura Curran, Josephina Francis, Hilary Schuff, Eric Donnelly, Kate Hutchison-Rose, Sean Cherry, Kurt Courtney, and Lauren Vieira.